Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now as we take a virtual car trip through our lives down a highway that has no end. I will be your passenger and you can drive, but I gotta warn you, I'm gonna tell a lot of stories, and you may have control of the radio knob, but I have control of the pretzels. Life is like a car trip, and sometimes when it is your turn to drive, you really need someone in the passenger seat to keep you company, to help you, to distract you, to be a friend. And that's what I want to be. Maybe you are literally driving in a car right now on a car trip. And maybe there is someone next to you in the seat, in the passenger seat. I would ask you to ask them now to go in the back and imagine that I am sitting with you next to you. Oh no, don't do that. That could be very dangerous. If you are not driving a car right now listening to me, it is also like you are driving a car. I mean, you have to operate, you have to navigate through life. And wouldn't it be great to have somebody sitting next to you, telling you stories, or distracting you, or saying, what do you need from me, your passenger, as you drive this car down this unpleasant stretch of highway? Maybe there's lots of, sinkholes. Oh, Lord, that'd be really terrible. We could plummet to our death down this 500-foot sinkhole. No, potholes. Pot is not harmful. They're little potholes, but they could still flat your tire. You don't want that. And so we want to help avoid them. And I know you're concentrating, but you still want something to distract you a little bit from the tension of doing all that. Say, oh, Hardy, my heart gets so heavy operating this car, this metaphorical car. And I can't find a metaphorical mechanic that will do a good job, who's honest. And I go, I know, just rent the car. I go, that's very expensive. I don't know, man. I'm just a passenger, and I'm not really paying attention. What do you want from me? Hand me a drink when I am thirsty. And I say, all right, but I'm actually, why don't I just put it in the cup holder here? The cup holder, or the cupola, as they say in Britain. They run everything together, like waistcoat. What else would you like? Well, when we get a sandwich, will you turn down the paper covering? Will you turn it down for me so I'm still holding paper, but I can get the sandwich into my mouth, Hardy? All right. I will do that for you. And what else? Tell me a story. Tell me something distracting. I will be a human book on tape. Aren't we all, though, a human book on just a tape, but a free one? One that you wouldn't pay for necessarily. So I can't follow this story. It's distracting, but I find that my own imagination surpasses the inventiveness of this terrible book on tape I'm listening to. So I'm just going to get lost in my own thoughts. But it is nice to have another voice going. My uncle, who for years worked for the Campbell Soup Company, would come home every evening and sit in his room alone in his attic bedroom, and he'd lay on that bed and he would put the TV on, and he would leave the TV on all night long until it went to static. It went to the and that thing. They don't have that anymore, really. It's all 24-hour TV now. But TV used to end. TV used to say, I'm going home, go to bed. I'm exhausted. Everything was like that. So I need a good night rest. Now it's all 24 hours. That's why they have to make things up. Because they don't have, like, news for that long or shows or anything. So what are we going to do? I don't know. Put anything on there. Put anything. And they do. And that's what's happened. But my uncle would have that on just for the company. The company of static. The company of static. Hardy. Yes. That's how lonely we are as creatures. That even just some kind of weird buzz or beep in the background is enough to make us feel as if we are not alone. Oh, if I can do that for you, if I can ride here in the passenger seat. They say ride shotgun. I don't need to carry a shotgun. I'll carry a bag of chips or something. Let's get some chips, some regional chips that you can only get in a certain place or something like Pennsylvania or Baltimore. Why don't we do that? That's fun. Oh, we'd have to go way off our path. Let's do it. Well, no, we're headed somewhere. All right, now go ahead. You do the driving, and I will be the passenger. Should I select a tape for us or a CD? Who has control of the radio? The captain. Whoever's driving, I think. But they don't, there's no off button for the chatty passenger. So I don't know about that. So, oh, please, please shut up. I've said that, I think, to passengers. Please, I just need you to be quiet. The rain is coming down. There are things flying. There are actual demons and winged creatures from hell flying at the car and hitting the windshield, and the wiper blades are old and shredded, and I can't see, and your rambling is not helping. It's not helping. Can you do something to help? What do you want me to do? Okay, crawl outside the car, crawl onto the roof, and then just wipe your hand, take a towel, and then as I'm driving, wipe the windshield for me. Can you do that? No, I'm not willing to do that, but I tell you what I will do, and that's nap. I'd be willing to nap and wear one of those pillows that's a cervical collar. I don't know if you've seen those. A lot of human beings get jealous of dogs that have cones on their heads and say, I would like that, but maybe padded. Then I could sleep on an airplane. Invention. And that's how things come up. I believe that everything we make because we have a need for that thing, right? So what? I need a scented candle. I can balance my phone on it and then get the phone up to the right height to take a picture of myself. And it's scented candle. It seems like the larger kind would be the perfect height. And so it was invented. A lot of things like that were invented just to have something to stack on something. I need something to put my speakers on to get them up off the ground. What could I do? Oh, I know, that old portable record player that doesn't work anymore. That would be perfect. And that's how that came to be. Oh, my goodness, when I was young, you could buy non-working appliances and use them for building material. And so people would build entire houses out of toasters. And they don't do that so much anymore. I don't know why that's fallen out of fashion like milkmen. Milkmen have fallen out of fashion. Not milk delivery. People still need it. Say, I still want milk left on my front doorstep. Because it never used to have to be refrigerated, you see, because they used to put cocaine in it. And then that's when it could just sit on your doorstep indefinitely. No more. Oh, the days have changed. Also, I don't know if you had milk delivery when you were young. If you're 114, then you had a pog came on top, that cardboard covering. They would give you milk. They would take milk in an old bottle, and they'd put it on your porch. And then to keep bugs out of it, I guess they'd put a flimsy cardboard disc over it. They might have put foil around it, too. I don't remember. But that would take care of it, and that'd keep it all sanitary and everything. And they kind of say, oh, fresh milk right here on a hot summer day. It's beautiful to have that. What is the, oh, cottage cheese. It's in the same bottle. I didn't recognize it. And we'd have a nice glass of cottage cheese, all the kids. When I was young, everybody loved buttermilk. Say, oh, but I need more. They put more butter in their buttermilk. Say, mama, put a whole stick of butter in my buttermilk, please. All right, you're going to spoil your dinner of a bowl of sugar. Oh, no, I won't. I could still eat my sugar. But now we know things are different nowadays. Everything is different. That's good. I think it's better. We used to eat things that were not good for us. Buttons and all. Say, eat your buttons. But now we know that that's not. I've got to explain, though. But you say, buttons like on your shirt? Yes, but they weren't made of plastic. They were made of bone. They were made of bone of exotic animals. And people thought if you eat your tiger bone button, then you would live forever. And we really thought that as children. I was a child on another planet, I might add. And I'm not from another planet. My parents had a job there. But I grew up there among them. And very different ways, people of other planets. I don't want to say which one, really, because I'm not, like I said, I'm not part of their culture. I just live there. And I felt like an outsider, and I should have, because I was one. And my family was there to invade, but it was just our one family. So we didn't get very far. And they tolerated us. They were really nice about it. We'd say, we're here to invade you. And they said, well, you didn't send very many people. Yeah, I know. Well, so we didn't get very far. But they let us live among them. They say, hey, why don't you live among us and eat these poison, what are to you poison mushrooms, but we subsist on them. And we managed, my family and I. Do you need any different story? It's a lie. I should tell you that. I know I'm lying, but you guessed that. You guessed that I knew that I was lying. I hope that that's true. I've had people tell stories like that that are realistic and a lie. It's amazing. You say, why did you say you were from Texas if you weren't? I don't know. It's okay. It's all right. But it's okay to just, people think their lives are ordinary. A lot of ordinary people think their lives are ordinary, especially boring people think their lives are boring. They're not. That's the thing. It's weird and crazy being, it's an adventure being alive. It's not necessarily a good one or anything, but it is, you know, every life seems to me, I wouldn't trade mine for anybody's just because I know mine and I'm already used to its absurdity. But yeah, I don't want to be anybody else. That would be frightening to me. Who knows? Oh, the things that can happen to you as a human being is a living thing. So there are things that can happen to other living creatures that don't usually happen to us. And that's not necessarily a good thing or anything. But, you know, in the past it's happened where our heads, our remains are hung from the wall or something. I see that at Disney World and all. You go to Disney World and you go to the Jamboree. The cut-up bear jamboree, it's called, because they've cut up a bunch of bears and hung their remains on the wall. Blah, 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 blah. I think that's how it goes, or something. I just remember some dead thing on the wall singing, and oh, that's startling. Yes, my disembodied head is living. Oh, that's horrible. I'm sorry, I have a cold and no cough button. My cough button is a cough. That's how I do it. I'm just not going to talk. That's how I won't choke. Right now, I'm. This is how you know I'm a semi-professional. I'm choking on phlegm. Right now, it's choke. I'm battling it. I'm overriding it. I'm letting the phlegm just go into my lungs like a free diver. So when you're free diving, you say, "I'm just going to dive down to the bottom of the ocean without a tank, or a 100-foot snorkel." Or anything. I'm just going to go. I'm going to hold my breath. And you go down. And eventually, your body, you know, almost immediately it goes, hey, question. We need oxygen. And I feel like we're not super getting any. And you have to override that and say, just hang on. You can do with very little oxygen. Here's the thing, though. When we get down to the bottom, we will have so little of it, our judgment will be gone. So then we won't have the very thing we need to save our life. Hi, I'm Hardy White. Have you tried to lose weight at home? Are your ankles swollen? Why are you doing that to yourself? Why are you eating candy in bed? I'm speaking to myself, not you. Why am I doing that? I don't know. I need that sugar. I got to be careful. I got to be more disciplined. Why? So I can take better care of myself. Why? I don't want to add to my own misery, for one. And also, the people, I do really love people, and I think it's really taking responsibility to admit that you're loved. I would even say err on the side of thinking you're loved, even if you're not, because it's a tremendous, it's then a responsibility. You have a responsibility to that person or whoever it is that loves you. Know that how you would feel about somebody that you loved. So I don't want anything to happen to Captain Kangaroo. So I want Captain Kangaroo to take care of himself because I don't want Captain Kangaroo to suffer or to die. And I've already had to experience that. I love that wasn't that strong for Captain Kangaroo. Admiration, maybe. But yeah, no, love. I'd say love. No, I wouldn't want Bob Keesham to feel depressed or suicide or anything. No way. I love him. I think he's valuable. And I think that about anybody who's a human being on Earth because it's challenging. So, yeah, in theory, I do love you. And so, therefore, you now have a bit of an obligation, or at least you have an obligation to keep it in mind that you are loved. That's all. Just know it. And a lot of people forget that. Their own families say, no, you love. Remember how it feels to you wouldn't want something bad happen to somebody you love. Just acknowledge that you, too, are loved. And that's hard. For some people, they don't want to admit it Because then they would have to treat themselves better. And they're so used to beating up on themselves that they don't know any other way to be. And so it's hard to acknowledge that you might already have a bit of what you're craving. You know? So, there you go. Oh, tell a funny story. I don't know. What's a funny story? Something that's humiliating to me? Oh, that's hilarious. Why? Oh, I don't know. Anytime something funny or embarrassing happens to you, I feel better about myself. That's understandable. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't wish me ill. I wish you to have minor ills so you'll come back and tell funny stories about them. All right. Or little embarrassments. Okay. I understand that. Well, a lot of them now are just I'm older and my zipper gets left open. It's not really more than that. That's a kind of a regular one. I forget things. I'm wearing 2 pair of glasses. I don't know how embarrassing they are, really. Let's see when I've embarrassed. The only way I embarrass myself now is if I behave inappropriately. Like I have inappropriate anger. That's the only thing I become mortified about now. Or ignorance or anger. When I was a child and we would go on long car trips, we always had some sort of game that we would take with us. And you can convert any game to a travel version if you magnetize it. You can take a chess set, put little magnets on the bottom, magnetic chess, magnetic checkers, magnetic Chinese chess, magnetic nine men's Morris, anything. Just magnetize it and the game is now travel ready because if you're in a moving vehicle, and that vehicle stops suddenly, your bishop will not slide into the dashboard. Do you follow me? Yes, I do. The British call it a glove box, don't they, or something? But we call it a glove compartment or department or something. I don't remember. I haven't been in a car in a while. Not on that side. So we had that thought when I was young, say, what can we do? What can we make? What kind of game can we magnetize? And then I had the thought, cards. We will make magnetic cards. And so we did. We made a whole deck of cards out of strong magnets. First of all, very difficult to shuffle, very difficult to deal. And then once you got them dealt, your cards would fly out of your hand and into the hand of your opponent. And this would happen. They'd be flying back and And then we realized that was part of the game. The part of the game, the part of the magnetic cards that makes it interesting is that your cards, because they are attractive, it works the other way too. They're going to fly out of your hands. Cards are going to fly into your hands. And we never know what they're going to be. Maybe the ace of spades is going to fly and stick to your three of diamonds. Or you could lose your King of Diamonds. There it goes. And it goes and it sticks to something metal, like a passing truck. What kind of truck? One of those 18-wheelers. What kind of 18-wheelers, Hardy? One of those kind of 18-wheelers that they hire, the driver doesn't own the rig. Okay, it's one of those companies you work for, like the ones that are all orange and everything. Some of my friends did that who were artists, and they would drive trucks like that. You don't actually own the rig. Okay. Some people own it, and then they go pick up whatever, trailer, and then they take it somewhere on a trip. That's the truckers. Oh, the truckers. Back in the 70s, when I was young, the truckers would form convoys, and on top of those convoys, they'd have machine gun nests and everything, and they'd say, we got to get this beer somewhere quickly. And they were always accompanied by firebirds and things like that. And I don't know why they were doing this. They didn't need to. They said, we got to get these goods, have to get there fast. And this is back when policemen were called bears, because the police department had employed not just bears, but wolverines and things as partners. Right? You know the Clint Eastwood movie with he's got a orangutan. And let's partner policemen with great apes. And then that worked out pretty well. They said, let's go on. Let's see what other species we could partner people with. And every animal that you can even imagine was a partner with police at one. But it got absurd when the police were partnered with this type of fungus, this type of mushroom that covers miles underground. It goes for miles and miles and miles. And it's one continuous, contiguous fungus. And that was a partner of a very, that was a very successful partnership. Do you remember there was a show on, and it was about a policeman, and his partner was a robot, not a mushroom. So I don't know. I don't know if it makes a difference. I don't know if we're there yet. Should I look? I'll look and see how far we are. Hey, phone, how far are we to our destination? You are not very far at all, or close. Try pulling over at a Stuckey's or a Horns or one. All right, let's do that. Get some kind of brittle or get some kind of log. I'd like a log made of, I don't know, cheese or caramel or something. I want it rolled in nuts. That's what I would like. Nobody, does anyone enjoy that? I just feel like it's like, yeah, it's our tradition. What is it? It's nougat and it's nuts on the outside. I don't know. Does anybody like that? People say they like it, but that's not what they really want. And I think no child would say that. Say, I want a nougat nut log. And if the child did, you'd look at them and say, you're special. You're the previous Dalai Lama, aren't you? Yes, how can you tell? Because you got old man tastes. So I'd like a little children, when little children do that to you, come up to you and say, Uncle Hardy, Uncle Hardy. What?
I'd like a nice hard candy, maybe a butterscotch.
You're an old man. You're not a child. You're some old man spirit in there. You want a butterscotch lozenge? Is that what you're saying? Oh, my word. Are we? I heard people say that. So that person's, I think that's a very old, wise spirit, that child. I said, I don't know. I just saw it wet itself. And you'd think if it was an old, wise spirit, it'd be like, I'm gonna hold it until I get to the restroom. I don't know, though. Who knows about our souls? I don't know. I had some religious people come to the door the other day, and they said, did you know? And I go, I don't know anything. So, you know, why don't you tell me what you think? And they thought, because I said I didn't have any answers, they said, well, oh my gosh, we have answers. And they gave me some, and they go, oh, I don't have any because I don't really collect any. I mean, I collect them, but I don't, your answers aren't going to be special to me. See, this is like a daycare center for answers. None of these are my children. I just love them all equally, all your answers. I'm looking at them. Secretly, I think some are correct, but I'm not going to tell you that. Oh, my goodness. I wish I could. I'm just going to go door to door and say, you know, I've got knock on people's doors. What is it? I got good news for you. What? You go, I think I'm good. I think my blood sugar's down. And they'll say, well, good for you. I know. Thank you. I just want to share it. What use is good news if I can't share it? But I don't want to go to somebody's door and tell them what to do. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'd feel terrible. Oh, God, how presumptuous. Could you imagine that? You go to somebody's door, you start telling them how to bake bread, and they own the local bakery. You say, well, I can't believe I'm telling you. You own a bakery. So embarrassing. I would never do that. I don't like going door to door, period, because in the back of my mind, I feel like I think they have the right to shoot me. Now that I'm on their property, I feel like, I don't know, I'm risking it knocking on the door. And people don't like to be interrupted. But sometimes you just have to sell them a Bible or tell them the house is on fire or something, so you got to go knock on that door. It's happened to me before. I've got... one time I got robbed, but my car got burglarized, and I had to tell somebody, you know? It was just, you know how you like to share bad things? Like, oh, I got this bad news. I must go tell somebody. So I went and I just inexplicably knocked on my neighbor's door. I said, I must share the bad news with you. Do you know we got burglars or something? I don't know. And they were like, oh, okay. Was your car locked? And I go, that's beside the point. I've been victimized. But it probably was my fault, because I also had a little sign on my car that said, rummage through my glove compartment and take everything. So, or glove box. That's how I know it was one of you Britishers who are listening. I love my friends in the UK. I love my friends worldwide. I love my friends. I don't even have to add anything. I love my friends. I love my creature friends. I have some dogs. I think they're my friends. They say they are. I think they are. I think they are. I mean, they have some... We're all together maybe for practical reasons, right? Say, oh, they only love you because you feed them. Like my friend Ben said to me one time, you only like me because I like you. So that is good enough for me. So what? So what if our love is based on a tautology, a paradox? Doesn't matter to me. I don't care how this got started. I'm just glad we have one another. I'm glad we're friends. Tell me about your political beliefs. Wait. Oh, I can't hear you. Oh, thank God. Thank God. I'm sure they're good. And I put, this is from time traveling. With time traveling, it's really noticeable because you go back in time. Let's say it's just a couple hundred years ago. And people start telling you about something. And you go, I have no idea this issue. I'm not going to let you down or anything, but 300 years in the future, nobody cares about this thing that you care passionately about. And they go, really? I go, really? Yeah. It's amazing. And I think that's probably the case now with people who are like, why does the light at the corner of First and Jefferson take so long? You know, it's amazing how that's not going to be an issue. Now, another things are things that affect human beings and their ability to love and subsist without pain or suffering. Those things endure, and those questions endure, and those we always will talk about and concern ourselves with. Oh, I tell you what, let's not help others suffer. Let's be a good passenger in that car. Sometimes we're driving, and we're going to need them to hand us a sandwich that's been expertly turned down so that our hands are on the paper, but our mouths are on the bread and the innards of that bread, which is what? What is this green? That's guacamole. Oh, that's great. I love that. That's great on my veggie sandwich. And I could drive forever then. No, I couldn't. I couldn't though. I can't stare that long at nothing. I either have to have really nothing, which is sleep, or something, which is like a movie. But that in between, that driving, that's in between oblivion and something. And that's not enough for me. You know what I'm saying? I either want total oblivion of sleep, or I would like, I don't know, John Wick 2. But not this endless stretch of highway. I don't know how you're doing it, friend. You like it? Yeah, I like it. I just am alone in my thoughts a bit. And then every once in a while, the thought is, oh, Lordy, I'm going to hit that deer. So, that's a little punctuated. It's like eating something that you don't, like eating a cream pie, and every once in a while, there's a hot pepper. Just keeps you alive, let you know you're still living. My friends, are you out there? I know that you may be alone and lonely. I know that this radio or this device or whatever may be your only umbilical. It may be attached to your what is now your belly button, but that used to be a big rope of grizzle, and that rope was attached to your mother. And now let's have an invisible mystical umbilical that's coming out of your belly and is attached to all the bellies out there. That's absolutely repulsive imagery. I'm very, very sorry. I didn't mean to put that in your mind. Oh, that's terrible. Harder, why'd you do that? I don't know. I was imagining some mystical connection, and then I said the word umbilical, and then there it was. There it was, manifest in my visual memory, that rope made of fleshy nonsense. Oh my word. It is horrifying, and yet it gives life. And life is a little bit disgusting, to be honest, you know, isn't it? And I think if we just stopped thinking of ourselves as beautiful gold figurines and understood that we were messy, nasty water bags, I think things would be a little bit better, right? Oh, lower the bar. Lower the bar has two meanings. And when someone says lower the bar, you ask them, are we going over or under it? Because if this is limbo and you've lowered the bar, then things are now more difficult. But if I'm a corgi and we're doing an agility course, I think I'm going to be good. Are you going over or under the bar, my friend? Have you passed the bar? That's what lawyers have to do. Say, what is this? So you eat this little thing, really? And then if it goes completely through your system and doesn't get stuck in your colon, you're a lawyer. Fantastic. That's all they have to do. And then they have to do that in every single state they want to do stuff in. So you can't even, I don't even think you can have a billboard with your face on it that says, you know, injured unless you've done that in that state. That's what I've heard. And somebody said, oh, it can be a candy bar. No, it's a rigid iron bar that needs to pass through your system. Only then can you know and defend the law. All lawyers have colons made of some kind of steel. A lot of it is just lead. I have a leaden colon. That'll do. As long as it doesn't puncture the side or get hung up on it, some kind of that bar can go sideways and you will say, I can't pass the bar. As much as I'm trying, say, all right, I guess just get a state job. And you can edit prospective bills or something. I don't really know, friend. I'm trying to take it again, study. There needs to be something for real estate agents who can't pass the real estate exam. There needs to be a para profession. I'm a para realtor. I can show you the house, but I can't tell you anything about it. I don't even know if I'm allowed to open the lockbox outside. I can take you. I have to stand on the front lawn because I'm a para realtor. So when you go inside, I'm past the real estate test. Is this the master bedroom? If I know, I can't tell you legally. I can't tell you if that's a bathroom. So that's considered an oral contract. No, I don't know, my friend. See, I know nothing about the law. I know nothing about real estate or phlebotomy or any of the arts. You know that. You know I'm humble because I'm ignorant. And it's so easy. Humility is such a gift to those of us of limited intelligence, because we're reminded so many people are lovely and generous in their reminders of my humility. They will just, everybody I encounter almost makes me feel like, hey, you've got nothing to be, you know, arrogant about. Oh, good. Now, some people don't have that. You know, I'm a star of a big movie. It goes to your head. Say, so maybe I just got on this magazine's, you know, list of the 10 most beautiful human beings who have ever lived. The 10 most brilliant, physically attractive human beings that have ever lived. It's hard not to let that go to my head. But, and they, I guess they do. I don't know. I don't know anybody like that. I only know blessed, the people who are the majority of human experience. I say, I know them. I love them. Oh my goodness. What an array. What an assortment. Oh, is life like a box of candy? It is, but some of it isn't candy. Some of it are little stones. Some of it is rotten pieces of corn. It's all sorts of nonsense in there. Candy? Yeah, every once in a while, I suppose. But a lot of times, it's a half-chewed lifesaver or something. Well, I guess that's technically candy. Some of the things in it are not. What is that? Is that a little dough ball? I don't know. It's something somebody's balled up in their fingers. I don't want to know what it started as. Could be anything. Could be I think they're picking at the chair, and there's a little rubber came off of the arm, and they wadded it up into it. Why is that in a candy box? Because it's not a candy box. It's just a box of things, my friends. Oh, this universe, this life. Why don't you talk about anything in particular, Hardy? I'm afraid to. Because what if I speak it into existence? And you know, you can speak things to existence. And some things don't deserve to exist. And so I try to leave no footprints and take no pictures. Leave no photographs. And this is a mistake I make in the woods all the time. It says, leave only photos. So I throw around these Polaroids, a lot of them embarrassing ones from the 70s, but I want to follow the rules. And so I throw them all across the strew. Strew? Is that the word I want? I almost said spew, and I caught myself and giggled. But I throw them across the strew. It's a strew, the photograph. Strew the old nude Polaroids. Right? Isn't that what they say? Across your trail as you're out in the woods. And take, what do you take with you? I take like rocks or sticks that I think are neat. And like that, I don't know. old markers, antique. There was an old headstone out there from the 19th century. Let's take this. No, I would never. I'm just kidding. Don't take anything like that. Leave it be. Just walk there. You can leave the footprints. Why leave the footprints? I'll tell you why. Australopithecus left footprints. Australopithecus afarensis walked across a muddy surface. And soon after, that muddy surface was covered with something. Let's say ash. And those footprints eventually were revealed again. And we saw how those early homonyms, or whatever they are, walked this earth. And so leave your footprints. And also, they left photographs of themselves. And that's how we know what they look like. So how does that National Geographic know what that ancient hominid looked like? Pictures. There's pictures. People think the photograph was just invented recently. But it's been around a long, long time. You just have to change your idea of what you think a photograph is. I think that that footprint is a photograph. Maybe not. Maybe it isn't. I think it is. Do you know Man Ray? Then you change your idea of what it is. Yeah, I guess it. What did he do there? Put a leaf on a thing. Oh, that looks just like a leaf. Yep. I believe that, you know, the photography was actually invented by Tom Wedgwood. But I spoke about that years ago in New Jersey. Say, so why would you get up in front of all those people and tell them that? Because I wanted to tell them a story that was both discouraging and encouraging at the same time, just like everything is. I wanted to tell them a story about a very, very gifted person who was also plagued by pain, chronic pain and everything. And that kept him from really fulfilling a lot of his dreams. But it didn't make his life and the effect his life had on others any more or any less worthwhile. Right? That's the way most people live their lives. Imperfectly. Derailed. Off on tangents. Messily. Messy, messy, messy is our lives. Messy is everything. Messy is my biography. My biography is so messy you can't even read it. It's got big chocolate handprints on it, my biography. What's in there? Stuff stuck in there I've forgotten about. I put something in there to press it and preserve it. And I guess I didn't get all the moisture out. Now it's rotting. And every time I leaf back in my memories, I find this old rotten flower. Instead of the nice dried memory I thought I had, I have this thing that is corroding and corrupting the rest of my story. And so I have to revisit it and go in and make sense of it again after all this time had passed. It's like when you go under your bed and you go, I know this used to be a sandwich. Does that happen to you? No. It doesn't happen to me either. But it did happen to a roommate I had one time. He reached under the bed and I said, man, I wonder what that was, what that used to be. I can tell it was biological or something. Years later, I was watching the cartoon Arthur with a young friend. And there's a character on there, Buster, who has some sort of food fetish. And he keeps food around in under, like, preserves it. This is disgusting. He also poops in teacups and keeps it. No, but I guess he had an old sandwich or something. And it keeps it around. I don't know what kind of lesson that is for children. So, oh, there's one. Here's a child with some sort of strange obsessive disorder, and he can't throw a sandwich away. He's got to keep it around until it's all moldy and nasty. But it turns out it has so many preservatives in it, like some sort of factory-made sponge cake, that it will never rot, and it will never perish. Even though it seems alive, it's not as alive as the things that are more temporary and fragile. Just because you feel broken or fragile or are, all right, that doesn't mean a thing. That means that you are alive and magnificent. And that's what it's about. And it's an illusion. It's a, look at your crust. Do you ever make a pie? You ever making a pie crust? It's like, this can't possibly hold together. This is the inferior pie crust. It's so thin, it's breaking apart. I can't even get it in the pan. Now, that's what you want. If it's thick and you're working with it, see, this seems good. It goes in even. It's going to be tough. You want to be tough? it's going to be tough and nasty and not have taste. You want to be tough and tasteless?
No.
You want to be flaky like me.
I'm just saying I'm flaky.
I'm not, though. Am I? If that's a good thing, I am. I don't mind being... I'm not thin. I'm not thin. I was once. I'm not now. Why? Pie. Literal. I like it. Like to bake them. Like to eat them. Like to eat things. Like to eat pie in bed. And I guess that's... Say, that seems decadent. I don't know if it is or not. Anybody is... I think it's available to... I think even if you were a prisoner, you could probably sneak a piece of pie back into the cell and eat it in bed. I mean, some people don't have access to pie. I realize that. I know that. But even I wouldn't begrudge somebody stealing a fruit pie if you want one, because everybody should. I think it's a right. And to deny someone one of those even nasty packaged fruit pies, those should be given out for free, I think. Don't charge somebody for those. And then, you know, you can work up to the other ones, but everybody has a right to a decent fruit pie, to a decent flaky crust, don't you think?
Oh, I hope you're full of butter. I don't eat butter, Hardy.
I don't mean real butter. Oh, my friend, it's hand clapping time. I clap my hands therapeutically. I like to clap my hands. It disinhibits me. It makes me much looser in my booty and my mind. I like to clap my hands. It reminds me I'm alive. I clap my hands. My hands are clapping like a heartbeat when I'm jogging. And when I'm sitting still, my heart is still beating fast because I'm fat and out of shape and I don't mind. I sort of mind. Oh, I love you, my friend. I have something to give. It's not much, and I admit I've eaten half. But I'd like to give you some. I'd like to share what I have with you, because if I don't share it, it will rot. I made too much bread and jam. I made too much cake and bread. I made too much today, and I must give some to you. Why is that? Because I can't keep this bread around. I didn't put no fat in it. It's gonna last only a day at the most, just like your show, just like my show. What do you mean? I mean it doesn't really last. What do you mean? You can get it on the archives. I can. I don't mean that. I'm not trying to insult you, Hardy.
You're not trying. But you did.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding. Don't fake cry. I never fake cry. I don't have to fake cry. Oh, my word. I cry at the drop of a baby. No. I cry at the drop of a... Well, I wouldn't... It depends. I would cry at the drop of a hat if it was somebody's... Oh, my! That's my grandpa's hat. Oh, no, I'm in the mud. I'd cry. I'm crying now thinking about it because I know people have precious things. They have people that they lost, and they hang on to the precious thing as a memory of that person that they lost and miss. And then when something happens to the precious thing, it's almost like having a loss all over again. And that's terrible, and that makes me cry. I'll cry at that. I might even tear up now. I was tearing up talking to the... There was religious people. Why don't you say Jehovah's Witness? Because I like my Jehovah's Witness. They come all the time to my door. I'm not going to get into, theology or something, but I visit with them only because I literally visit with everybody who comes to the door. And they came the other day, and it was great. We had a great, we had a wonderful conversation. And it made, like I said, it made me want to go door to door and just start chatting, but I don't think that that's really done. And I think maybe it's different for me, but I don't know. I thought, man, I don't know that I'm going to see these folks again. And I will vomit my humanity upon them and let them see me as a complex and strange human being. And then maybe, I don't know, they'll work that into their belief system or something. That's what I'm always hoping for anybody who's sort of defined their faith. I say, find room for me. Can you find room for me without me, like, taking the pledge or anything? I don't really want to write a check or join your all thing, but I just maybe make a little room for me in there. That'd be great. Say, oh, yeah, Hardy is an honorary Satanist or whatever. I don't know what y'all are in. But, yeah, say, you're welcome to our church or synagogue or shul or temple. or mosque or anything, you can come by anytime and get up in front of us and change our theology for us. Really? No. Okay. But if you want that, I would. I'd go ahead and do it. I wouldn't mind. Oh, I find it hard. The only club I want to be in is the only one I'm really willing to be in and draw the line on are vertebrates. I say, because I feel like I want to be in a club bigger than humans. And I feel like I want to be in a club bigger than mammals. But I don't know if I want to extend my family. I realize they're still family, but they're distant, are the non-vertebrates. So, if you have a spine, I love you like mine, or something. but yeah, I'll come around. But still, because I've had fish friends who are like, can my jelly friend come? And I'll go, no jellies. I'm sorry. And he'll go, all right. But it makes me feel a little bad. But the fish can come. The fish are welcome. I brought one with us. I brought a live fish. It's in the car now. I'm not going to tell you where it is. I'm carrying around a little fish bowl like Commandant Lassard. Hey, keep making Police Academy references, don't you? I do. A friend had friends over to watch all of them. We watched all of them over a course of weeks. And it was wonderful. And then we Skyped with Michael Winslow. And that was the last one when we watched Seven. And he's a very nice gentleman. He's very talented. He's amazing in music and vocal things and everything. I wish I could make those noise. I can do that. No, I don't. But I can't bark like a dog or anything like that. You'd know it was me. I can bark like, I can do, I can do an impression of Lou barking like a dog. Ruff, ruff, roar, bark. How's that? That's about all. Let me see if I can do any impressions. Let me think of impressions. Throw one out there. Jimmy Cagney. No, I don't know. I'm not going to do any. I don't think I'll do any. I like doing them of people that you don't know. Here's my friend. Never mind. I was going to do my friend Bland, but I can't think of anything funny to say as Bland. I haven't seen him in a long while. Are you out there? Can I use the radio show to get in touch with old friends? I see you. I see you like the romper room lady sees you. I see you in my mind's eye. I am looking through a mirror that has no glass. And my mirror that has no glass can see into the minds of all of my friends and all of the lives that have crossed mine, all of the hearts that have linked with mine, all of the people who have been in my life and have drifted in and out. I see you in my magic mirror, and I'm going to start listing names like Alucard, Brothers, Pete. I've noticed a couple Petes. So there you go. Here's this interesting. I know quite a few Petes. One of my friend Petes is an accomplished bike racer, and the other one is a pathologist who takes out people's brains after they die. I checked with that. Isn't that interesting? And I wonder. I would love to see them collaborate, where maybe one Pete would just take a brain with him on a bike race. I don't know how that would. I don't know if that would, if they could collaborate. But I love bringing people together of different disciplines like that. Oh, that'd be a great job. I just thought of a great job for me. I will go to universities or anywhere, and I will hook up people to collaborate that seemingly have nothing in common. You see? So I take a banjo player and somebody who works on frog populations and get them together. And then, what do you have? I think you have the Rainbow Connection. I don't know, but that one seemed far-fetched, and yet it's already been done. You see how that, but we need more of that. We need more disparate collaborations. We need more of people coming together who think they're different. And when they come together and they're different, oh, the third thing they can make is wonderful. We know that. We know that. Let's do that. Let's keep doing that. Let's look for the differences and say, oh,
Look at you, you magnificently different person. Let's combine you with some other different person and make a third great thing. Oh, well, we could change the world that way if we just didn't see things in terms of better and best. We just saw things that if things are different, they're awesome. That's what's best. And evolution bears us out. Evolution doesn't say, oh, this is better, this is best. It's only better and best for a little period of time, and then something other is better and best. But what makes it all churn, what makes it keep going is difference, variety, choice, things, options. Options have to change all the time because we're in a different place. We were on that road over there. Remember when we were on that stretch of road back there, and that stretch of road back there was covered with trees. And that stretch of road that was covered in trees made the daylight turn into nighttime. And we needed some lights. We needed some headlights, and we switched those headlights on. But now we're in a bright place. We don't need those headlights. We need something different. We need some sunglasses. It's sunglasses we need now. Back there, sunglasses would have killed us. Sunglasses would not have been the best thing in the shade, but now here in the sun, that's what we need. We need the sunglasses, so now they're best. It's not that one is ever perpetually better than the other. It's their difference that we need. It's their difference that we need. The Swiss Army knife knows this, and it's not even alive. It's saying, you know, you laugh at this. You laugh at this toothpick now because you're using a knife. But there's going to come a point where that corn kernel in your tooth is your most important priority. And when that happens, you're going to want a plastic reusable toothpick at hand. My friends, this connection that we have is special. My voice going out to you in this context is very special. Why is that? Are you so important? Are you better? No, I'm not. I'm just variety in a landscape that's getting a little less varietal. That's weird, right? I don't think of myself as diverse. But my goodness, we need to put out all of our ideas, just like they were campfires. No, that's a different use of put out. I'm sorry. Am I keeping you awake? Do you want to be awake? If I'm keeping you awake and you're driving on a long car trip, this is an awesome thing. I'm keeping you awake. If I'm keeping you awake and you're trying to get some sleep because you got surgery tomorrow and you're going to be performing it, well then yes, that's not so good. Oh, it's relative. I'm your relative. Am I your relative? Am I your Uncle Hardy? Am I your Cousin Hardy? Am I your sibling? Oh, we're siblings. Are we cousins? We are literally cousins, I believe, far back enough. But in my heart, we're also siblings. We're siblings. Because we're on the earth together at the same time. We're both alive. And if you have your eyes open, you know what that's like. If you have your eyes open and you understand what people are going, oh, just do that as a little exercise. All of y'all are put together different neurologically. Now, some of you can just look at another person and feel what they're feeling. And you don't even have a choice. In fact, it's debilitating. Others, it's more difficult to do. You don't have some of the receptors. You're just better at not letting other people into your head or into your heart. And that's good too. Believe me, that is not a deficiency. This is just a difference. But it is important to know what other people are feeling and thinking, because it will affect you. Oh, open your eyes. That's the best way to go through life. It's with your eyes open. And yes, it is scary. Oh, my word. You'll see everything. You'll feel everything. And if you were alone, that would be overwhelming. But let's do it together. We have to be together to open our eyes. We have to be connected to open our eyes.
class, and then we can, and then we can face things, because when we do it as a group, it just feels better. It feels better to support one another. Oh, differences and all. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Are you awake? Are you doing that thing where you just close one eye? Oh, good. You're still driving. I know you. Do you want anything? Can I get you anything? Do you want a pretzel or anything? Do you need to pull over? Do you need to stop? Is there a rest area coming up? I don't mind. I would not mind using the bathroom. I wouldn't mind trying. I wouldn't mind going ahead and going. I wouldn't mind. I'd feel a little more relaxed. I can hold it, but I'd feel better if I went. I feel that. Did you ever? This is the opera intermission problem. Do I have to go? Enough? Is it worth the hassle to go? I mean, how much is it going to impede my enjoyment of the second act? I never know. You know, I make that mistake sitting at the computer. I go, when is it too late to get up and go urinate? When have I waited too long? Because sometimes you can ignore it if you're really working on a project or something. Then you go, okay, now I really got to go. This happens when I'm Skyping and things too. I go, okay, now I really have to cut you off because I have to go so bad. And they'll usually let you go. Or you could just, they'll know you're wearing diapers if you just sort of do that kind of goofy grin. They'll say, are you even listening to me? And you go, yeah, huh? Oh, to be a baby again. No thanks. Did that. To be an old man. Why not? Haven't done that yet. Let's do it. I hope it. Let's go. I'll full steam into old age. Oh, I don't mind right now. It's a blessing. I'll take it. I'll take whatever. I'll take being with you, my friend. I don't have to see you to know that you'd make a decent friend. I know you would. I know your heart. Another human being. That can't be that different, right?
Yes, probably.
I know, yeah, my dog, even though I think I can relate even to my dog a little bit. My dogs fight for in the winter, there's a heating vent on the floor, and they'll come in from the outside, and they'll race to it to see who gets to sleep right next to the heating vent. And even though Cookie is bigger than my hound dog, Orwell always wins because Orwell's meaner. And so Orwell's is like, I'm willing to bite your face off. And Cookie O's is like, all right, it's cool. It's cool. It's also warm over here. And so they've worked out a sort of truce, and they don't fight about it all the time. They just know, you know, well, go ahead and let Orwell. He's a little older, too. So maybe Cookie's being cool. But Cookie could take him, but just chooses not to. Very nice. Very cool. Shout out to my dog, Cookie. And shout out to you. Why am I shouting? Don't shout. Can you whisper out to me? Shh. Yoo-hoo. Yoo-hoo. I do that when I do that to, if you have children to pick up at a school, sometimes I'll pick up young folks or something. I'll have to give somebody a ride. And then if ever somebody sends me to a school, if the children are a certain age, usually high school age, and I will open the window and I'll say, yoo-hoo, really. I'll go, yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo, like that. They love that. They like that because it's ironic and they think it's funny. That's not true, but do it anyway. Do it anyway. It's good for the child's character. You should be, your family should be a tremendous embarrassment, a loving embarrassment. So, oh God, oh no, my grandma's going to kiss me in public again. You're so lucky. That's so lucky. Love it. Love your embarrassing, loving family and friends. Embrace them. Oh, I'm so thankful for you. We don't have much time together on this earth, really. I've lost so many people I love, and I'm sure you have too, and we will in the future, and eventually we'll lose ourselves, which sucks, really sucks tremendously, that whole prospect of dying. No, don't welcome it. I'm sure no one really does, unless they're in pain. But, oh my gosh, we're struggling here together, and it's so good to be friends. And I'm so lucky. Thank you so much, WFMU East Orange. Oh, let me start over again. You're listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. My friends, thank you for listening, and I will see you again next week.
Oh!